Welcome back, everybody. We're at episode 3 of Comic Book Obscura. I'm your host, Tony, and today I know we just did 2 characters last time, and one was a DC character. We're doing another DC character. I promise you, I do have some Marvel characters and others on the list, but I just wanted to, it was just these first 3 characters from DC that I really just wanted to get through. I guess right now I'm kind of been stuck on costume design, and a lot of the characters I've done so far, I guess with the exception of the Question, really, I mean, I like the design of the Question. It's really simple, really basic, but to me it's still eye-catching, you know, with the featureless face kind of thing going on, like, and just the name, like the design and the name, the Question, just kind of evoke all the right things. So I've kind of been looking at characters whose costumes and designs just kind of like stand out to me. And so today I'm looking at a DC character called the Heckler, which right off the bat, like when I saw this guy, I thought that it was I almost thought it was some kind of like superhero version of the Joker, maybe, which is not kind of a parody of someone, but it's not who you think. So let's get into it. DC's The Heckler was created in 1992 by Keith Griffin, and his comic run only lasted 6 issues, ending in 1993. Keith wanted to work on Bugs Bunny comics, which DC were published. Well, I don't know if they still do. I don't really pick up like the you know, younger kid comics anymore, but you know, DC is owned by, you know, it's part of Warner Brothers, which is, they're all part of Time Warner. So, you know, that's why they were producing those comics. And Looney Tunes, of course, is part of, you know, Warner Brothers. So Keith wanted to work on Bugs Bunny comics, but he didn't think they'd like his intended handling of the character. I'm assuming he probably wanted to go into maybe like a slightly more mature direction with Bugs Bunny for some reason. So since he was sure they weren't going to let him, he went to DC and created a hero where he could kind of explore the themes and ideas that he wanted for Bugs Bunny, but, you know, with a different character. So this alternate character didn't have many adventures, but what seemed more interesting about this guy to me was the design, but also his supporting cast and his enemies, which I'll get to. But yeah, just like, it seems like, even though like this is from DC, I think it's from, it's kind of exists in like one of those kind of pocket areas of the DC universe where it's like, it's probably part of the main universe, but it's like off on its own. Like no one talks about it. Like I don't think Batman ever showed up in this guy's city or interacted with him. I don't think he's interacted with anyone from the Justice League, but I think it's still considered part of the main universe. I guess the question is, who is this guy? So his name is Stuart Mosley, and he's a co-owner of a diner called Eats in the ghetto section of a city called Delta City. As the Heckler, he fights goofy villains, and he's only armed with just his sarcastic wit, which I think is where the Bugs Bunny connection comes in. So this guy doesn't have any superpowers, no weapons or tech, just a costume and his sense of humor. And I think the idea was that it was supposed to be a Looney Tunes take on a superhero comic. There's a lot of other comparisons that come to mind with how this character operates. Like, for instance, it seems like the creator was inspired by Bugs Bunny, but as far as like goofy superheroes go, you could also compare it to Freakazoid, who coincidentally is also a product of Warner Brothers. And then you could also, like, just based on his look and the way he's depicted in his comics, you could also draw kind of stretching a little bit, but a comparison to The Mask. I would say more of the the movie version of the mask than the comic version, because it doesn't seem like, it seems like there's violence in the heckler, but not like ultra violence where it's like heads getting pulled off and, you know, shoved places they shouldn't go, but like just like more cartoonish violence. So I think that's like, if you're going to draw a mask comparison, I think it leans more towards the movie version. His turn towards being a superhero is never explained. Like, when his series starts, he's already the heckler, and there's no real backstory on that, like why he suddenly got the costume or where he got it from or any of that. Like, he's just, it is, it just starts out, it is the way it is. Another similarity with him and the mask is that his civilian personality is really frustrated and awkward and kind of anal retentive, but then when he's the heckler, he's really like bouncy and overconfident and daring and just kind of like, I guess, charming in a comedic rogue kind of way. And the similarity between him and Freakazoid is that when he fights his villains, it's not really a physical fist fight. He uses jokes and misdirection and tricks to kind of lead them into defeating themselves. So in that way, it's very similar to Freakazoid. Although Freakazoid actually does have superpowers, but part of the comedy of that show is that he rarely uses them to beat his enemies. It's usually like sight gags and jokes that he uses to beat his villains. So let's get to that costume. Okay, so this is me trying to describe a really odd costume. Like, it's simple, but I was trying to figure out how to word it. And so I'm going to try my best. Okay, so he's got a full-face yellow mask. It's exactly like the Marvel character Madcap from the last episode, except there's no mouth slit. Instead, where the mouth is, there's just this giant white grin. Like, imagine the Joker's grin, but just the teeth, and the teeth are white, and no red lipstick. And that's kind of like, he has a big white patch over the mouth area of his mask, but in the shape of a giant laughing grin. So, and actually, that's part of, like I said, the costume is really a big part of what drew me into this character. And again, it's the big grin is what made me think like this was supposed to be like the Joker, but a superhero version of that character. But it turns out I was way off, and it was based around Bugs Bunny. But the top half, the shirt part of the costume, is, I guess, the closest visual comparison I can kind of draw from it is, it's similar to Spider-Man's, the top half of Spider-Man's suit, design-wise, except imagine that where Spider-Man's top half of his costume, where it's red, it's yellow, and then where it's blue on Spider-Man, it would be white on the heckler. And instead of a spiderweb pattern on the red part, he just has a bunch of print designs of ha-ha all over it, on the yellow section, on the front and the back. The lower half is just the leggings, I guess, are white with like a yellow stripe going down the leg all the way to the boots. And then the boots and the gloves are yellow. So, like I said, pretty simple. It felt weird, like, now that I've described it, I'm like, okay, maybe it wasn't that difficult to describe verbally, but, because, like I said, it's really simple. Like, if you see it, give it a goog and look at the costume. It's a really simple design. It's strange and kind of interesting. Me, personally, I might not have gone with, like, the ha-ha pattern repeating on the top half, like maybe just one big ha on the front or the back, but still, it's weird and interesting. And if I saw this on the cover of a comic book at a shop, I'm not saying I would necessarily buy it, but I definitely would pick it up and like give it a closer look. Like, it's just one of those things that like stands out. Like, the colors are kind of bright. I mean, that's the whole point of comic book character costumes in the first place, to be eye-catching, and the cover is supposed to be good so you pick up the book and hopefully buy it. Like, I understand that. I'm not like discovering this, I'm not coming to this realization for the first time or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, they pulled it off well in this case, is the short version of that long sentence. Like I said, it only ran for 6 issues. There was plans for a 7th, but the creator decided to just let it end at 6. And so that's the costume. Now, the other interesting thing about this character was his supporting cast. So I'm going to talk about them next. Because, like I said, 6 issues, they never really go into any, like, deep backstory or history for the Heckler himself. And what surprised me is that for only 6 issues, they managed to establish a lot of characters. It's really weird. It makes me kind of curious as to how each issue went. Like, was he just taking on, like, 3 villains at a time? Or, like, constantly tripping over supporting cast members? So I'll start with his supporting cast and then go into the villains. So first up, we have Ledge. Like, that's it. Just Ledge. I guess no one has any last names except for the main character. He's Stu's friend and an informant on crimes in Delta City. He's a lot of these characters are patrons of Stu's restaurant Eats, and apparently a lot of them are informants for some reason. Like, I guess the people that go to his restaurant just like, and a lot of them seem to know that he's the Heckler. Or at least this guy does, and one other guy that I'll talk about next. But they will come to the restaurant and just be like, "Hey, Stu, there's, you know, this villain is running around in this section of the city doing this and this." And he's like, "Oh yeah, well I guess I better put on my Heckler costume and go, like, you know, poke fun at him until he turns himself in or something." Like, I really would like to get my hands on at least one issue. From this guy's comic, because I'm really curious to see how, like, this, you know, an issue of this plays out. So next up is a character called Mr. Dude, which at first I thought was maybe some kind of, like, maybe it was some kind of homage to the dude from the movie Big Lebowski. But I don't know, based on this, like, I haven't seen this character. I couldn't find any images. I didn't give it a goog, but which I probably could have, but, like, I was more interested in the descriptions and the names of these characters. But again, I would like to go back and see if I can find, like, some, like, either an entire issue or just some images of some of these guys. So Mr. Dude is another patron of Eats, and he's another informant, but he usually drops dime on, like, underworld crimes, like mafia related stuff. Next we have Mayor Klump, which is the name of the actual mayor of Delta City. And apparently it's a guy who has just like a gray, undefined mass blob for a face. Like, I don't know if his head is in the shape of a human head, but just like gray with no features, or if it's just like this like clump of Play-Doh on top of a human body. But apparently, depending on who his audience is, like who he's in front of, he'll wear a human face mask that says either conservative or liberal over it. And social's political satire humor, I guess, is the point of that. You know, the whole, you know, faceless politicians, I guess. And then next we have, oh, this is a weird one, X-Miss. And I don't mean Xmas as in X-M-A-S as in Christmas, although it's kind of related. It's spelled, or it's written out, X-M-S as in the female designation for an unmarried woman. So I guess he was trying to be more clever? I don't know. So this is a superhero, another superhero operating in Delta City, who defends the Christmas themed section of Delta City called Tinseltown, which that seems like, okay, I mean, I get it, it's supposed to be Looney Tunes but with superheroes, but really, like, when I read that the first time when I was doing the research, it instantly made me think of Nightmare Before Christmas, where it's just like, does Delta City just have like these doorways that lead to different themed sections of itself? Like, what is going on with it? Why would a city have a Christmas themed section? Like, you would think maybe this character Xmas just, you know, dresses up like a superhero during, like, around Christmas time, or stops Christmas themed crimes or something. I don't know, but it gets weirder. So next we got Rabbi Zone and Dreidel, and I'm not even kidding. Rabbi Zone is part of an organization called the Brotherhood of the Zone Magi, and they were a group that used to enforce order in the cosmos. And then this character, Rabbi Zone and Dreidel, are meant to be a Jewish parody of Batman and Robin, with Rabbi Zone having like vague mystical powers that come from a patch on one of his hands, and Dreidel having the power to spin at spin and travel at high speeds, similar to a Dreidel, but not, you know, not effectively used for crime fighting. I mean, he's using it for crime fighting, but a real Dreidel wouldn't be useful at all. I mean, I guess if you made it out of a metal alloy of some kind and use it like for a throwing weapon, but even then it's just like, well, you know, we have guns. So I think that was the end of the list for I've got one more supporting cast member, sort of supporting cast member, a guy called Lex Concord. This, and I honestly, from this description, this guy feels like he could have had his own short comic run for like 3 or 6 issues or so. This guy never actually made like a full-on appearance. The Heckler finds his remains during one of, I don't even know what issue it's from, but in one of the Heckler's comics, he just finds this guy, you know, the remains of this guy. But apparently this guy was a superhero back in the 1800s who defended the colonial era version of Delta City. And this part of the part of the city that he defended, buildings and citizens all were apparently devoured by a giant demon called Flying Buttress. And for any architect people out there, you'll know what a Flying Buttress actually is. So it's kind of weird that there's a demon named after an architectural structure. I guess there might be some kind of joke in there I'm not getting. So if anyone out there is an architect, like, is there some kind of connection between a city-eating demon and a flying buttress? Like, maybe I'm just not getting the joke. But, I mean, the name itself is funny, being the name for a demon. But other than that, it's kind of like, why that name? Like, what led them to that name? But, so that was the last supporting cast member who was actually dead on arrival. the villains get weirder. And again, it's like, I guess we'll get into this when I get to, when, you know, in the Boot or Reboot segment. But man, it's just, I would really, even if this series never comes back, which honestly, I don't think it ever will in any form whatsoever, I would really like to see this, like someone take a shot at this again. Or at least, you know, like I said, get my hands on the original 6 issues, or, you know, I'd like to read this because it's really got me curious. So the enemies list, we'll start off with a character called John Doe, the Generic Man, which I'm not sure why, but for some reason when I read that, it made me think of Kilgrave, the Purple Man from Jessica Jones. Not the Netflix series version, but just if you've ever seen the comic book version of the Purple Man, he looks like a pretty generic guy in a purple suit with purple skin. Like, just pretty generic looking, kind of. But this guy, apparently he has a power to steal the characteristics of people and objects. And I have no idea what that means. Like, I guess for people, he would steal their faces? Like, it's really vague. I'm not really sure what that's supposed to mean as far as, like, their characteristics. Like, do they mean physical characteristics? Their behaviors? Like, is he body snatching them, basically? And then he has a sidekick and sometimes girlfriend named Buckshot who, get this, has exploding freckles. I'm not even, like, again, what does that mean? Can she pull the freckles off her face and then they regenerate and she can flick them at people and they explode? Or is it like if you punch her in the face in the freckle area, it causes an explosion that could like blow your hand off? Like, what does that mean? Next, there's a villain called Bushwhacker. Instead of being spelled with an ER at the end, it's spelled with a K apostrophe R for some reason. This guy's a bounty hunter who's specifically after the Heckler, and he's supposed to be a parody on Wile E. Coyote in that when he tries to capture the Heckler, he makes these like big elaborate traps that always backfire. This next guy, so far, like by the Generic Man Like, I'd really like to see that character. And then this next guy, El Gusano, who is a humanoid. And, like, I couldn't even dare try to, like, I don't have a picture of him. But I feel like my, what I'm imagining this guy to look like would be probably be grossly different from, like, five other people. But apparently he's a humanoid earthworm in a suit that works as an assassin for a crime boss in Delta City. Wrap your head around that. And, like, I almost kind of picture it like Earthworm Jim, but I don't think that's it. I think it might actually just be, like, a human body with an, like, in a suit with an earthworm's head sticking out of it with, like, with, like, dark shades on, even though it has no eyes, or something weird. Like, I don't think I'm going weird enough with my picturing of this character. The next guy is called the Cosmic Clown, and this guy, I mean, it's kind of what you think, but it's an android assassin from space who dresses like a clown, who had a falling out with his people from wherever planet he's from, and he came to Earth. But even though he dresses as a clown, for some reason, he apparently thinks that Earth clowns are out to, like, murder people. Which raises the question, well, why are you dressed like one? Like, to blend in so you can try to kill all clowns because you're trying to stop murder? Or because you want to join them in murder? I mean, you are an assassin, so is that it? But it seems like, from the description, it seems like he's against clowns. Like, he's suspicious of clowns. And so that's why it's, like, it's kind of odd that he chose to dress like one. But I guess maybe it makes sense to him in that, like, well, if clowns are out for murder, dressing like a clown will signify me as a murderer. Like, it's like, well, okay, it's a clown assassin, and clowns murder and assassinate people, so I guess that makes sense somehow. The next villain on the list is Say Hey, which I kind of wish I looked this up, but, like, I've heard that said before, but I don't know in what context it's generally used. And then here it's not spelled the way I thought it was, so I think this is kind of like it's supposed to be like a play on word. But it's spelled with the French word say isn't, it doesn't have the same meaning as the actual word S-A-Y, say, which is how I always imagined it was pronounced, like say hey, S-A-Y-H-E-Y. But here it's spelled, you know, C'est, hey, H-A-Y. Maybe this character is French, it didn't specify, but apparently it's a psycho killer dressed as a scarecrow, but with, like, actually made of hay. So I guess that's where the hay part comes from, like it's H-A-Y hay, not H-E-Y. Cool, I guess. It's like, so it's basically the scarecrow from Batman, but just an actual living scarecrow and without the fear toxin, I guess. It sure, whatever. But yeah, other than that, it's just he's psychotic, he's a killer, and apparently he wants to be an actor. Like, I would really like to know, well, okay, I was gonna say I would like to know a backstory for this thing, but on second thought, like, I kind of don't care. Like, nah, it's basically Batman's scarecrow, but just dumber. And then last, we have the four mopeds of the apocalypse. And this is another one of those characters where I read the name and, like, my imagination kind of, like, ran with it. And so I was, like, when I first read that, what I imagined was, like, the horsemen of the apocalypse, but they were, like, all, like, just these kind of loser bikers. Like, you know, one was, like, maybe short and fat and stubby looking and, like, hairy. And then maybe another one was, like, really tall and lanky, but bony, like, no muscles or something. Like, I was expecting, like, this group of just, like, weirdos. But they're supposed to be the horsemen of the apocalypse, but they don't look threatening or scary. They look really goofy and weird, and they all ride mopeds, is what I imagined. And, well, it turns out that I kind of wasn't wrong, sort of. Like, I wasn't too far off. So the four mopeds of the apocalypse are actually the sidekicks to the actual horsemen of the apocalypse. And their names are Skippy, Famine Lass, Plague Boy, and Kid Pestilence. And it turns out apparently they were the ones, like, they're supposed to wait around for signs of the end of the world. And then I guess they're supposed to call the actual horsemen to come in and do their thing. But apparently they were the ones responsible for summoning the flying buttress demon that ate the colonial version of Delta City, or a section of it. Yeah, that's another set of characters from this thing where it's just like, I feel like I need to see what this looked like on paper. It just seems like kind of an interesting idea, like the four horsemen to have sidekicks. Because I mean, like, as far as mythology and stuff like that goes, like, Thor is a comic book character, like a superhero character. Hercules is a superhero character. And that's not just the DC universe. I mean the Marvel universe. DC universe has Ares as a character. Zeus exists, you know? So it's like, why can't the Four Horsemen be some kind of, like, you know, why can't there be a comic book version of them where they're, like, super villains with sidekicks? Like, why the heck not? That's really all there is for the Heckler. I mean, he didn't have a long run. He kind of came and went within, like, a year's time, basically. But, like, he just, like, the character, well, the characters, him and, you know, the rest of the characters involved in the story, just seem like there's a kind of untapped potential there. Like, I feel like they could have, like, maybe not at the time, because apparently, like, Goofy Comics were in the decline, and everyone's like, I mean, it was the start of the 90s, so everybody was ramping up for, like, all the super muscled, hairy anti-heroes. Like, that's what was coming in, where everyone was, like, cybernetic and had spikes and, like, 50 pouches strapped to their costume. So, you know, I can see why a comic like this kind of didn't really go the distance. But I think now, with comic book characters being such a big part of popular culture, like, you know, leading the way with their movies, and they're such a big part of entertainment now, that's like, I think people are ready for just a different take on superheroes. Like, you know, you've got your stables with Marvel and DC. I think now would be a good time, and there are some like that out there already, but I think this is a time period where just, like, the more out there concepts of what you can do with superhero stories would thrive now. Like, this is that time where I think if you tried to bring back the Heckler, it could be a successful comic book run. So let's get into Boot or Reboot. So I know he doesn't have a lot. There's not a lot to work with this guy. But I would honestly say give it a reboot. And there's a couple of different ways you can go. I think you could approach it. Like I said, it seems like there's a lot of comparisons you can draw from with this guy, from, like, characters like Freakazoid and The Mask. And like I said in the history description, the creator intended to work on Bugs Bunny, so this character is kind of influenced by, you know, like, Looney Tunes cartoons. I mean, heck, even one of the villains is a parody of Wile E. Coyote. So I think it could be DC's, like, if they wanted to do another animated series, slightly in the vein of Teen Titans Go. Like, in fact, if they wanted to bring back the original Teen Titans cartoon, like, bring back that series, but they still wanted a kind of cartoonish, goofy, kids kind of driven DC character, I think you could bring this guy in. Kids aren't going to recognize this guy, and I feel like, well, okay, maybe he wouldn't draw in that audience. And I think it depends on the writers. I think this kind of falls into the lap of the writers as far as, like, how the comedy will work and draw kids in. Now, another thing you could do is you could kind of do a similar approach, but gear it towards, you can make it more of an adult-oriented cartoon where it's, like, it's comedy, but, you know, more for adults. Like, yeah, basically it's Looney Tunes, but with, like, superheroes. And I think as a cartoon, more than a comic, you could pull that off. That's not to say it wouldn't work in a comic, but, like, I think it could really get some traction as a cartoon. And especially with DC launching their streaming service soon, like, I think it would be perfect for that. If you wanted to keep the comic going, or bring the comic back, I think you could pull it off. Like I said, like, humor comics work now. Like, they thrive. Like, we're not all about anti-heroes with, like, cybernetic arms and legs and all that stuff anymore. I mean, sure, they still exist, but it's like that's not all there is to comics right now. Like right now, I think comics are in a period where you can kind of do whatever. Like the weirder, the crazier, the more imaginative stuff is kind of thriving right now. And I think doing a superhero comic that's mainly about the humor could work. I mean, I would say give the main character, if you're still making him Stu Mosley, give him a background, give him a motivation, and just, you know, make it goofy and run with it. I mean, like, just you. Just think about some of the villains I named. Like, it seems like that was the original intention to begin with. It's just we've got our hero, we've got our location. Let's just go nuts. Whatever weird, goofy, crazy villain or concept you can come up with, like, throw it in there. Like, let's just make it fun and silly. And I think that could work. You could also, like, okay, I would say, even if you do this, I wouldn't ever try to take it too seriously. Like, for instance, I would say, if you wanted to, you could take the character of Stu and make him a minority and kind of work in like a social commentary, but make it a satire. Like I said, nothing about this should be too serious. Like, it should be making fun of things and telling jokes, but, you know, with the premise of superhero stuff going on. But at the same time, like, I would say if you did that and you went the minority route, or made him an immigrant of some kind. Because, I mean, like, the original character ran a diner in, like, the ghetto area of the city he protects. And I think if you switch the character from a white, generic white guy to some ethnicity, whether it be, like, a black guy, Asian, or an immigrant from, like, overseas or something who came here and, like, managed to somehow open up a diner... Like, I think if you could draw some truth from it, where it's like, okay, that's kind of something to think about, but it's being told to you in a humorous, in a comedic way. So that's one way I think you could kind of bring it back. But the key is to keep it funny and never go too serious. And if you go serious, it's got to be, like, just for a bit. Like, and that's only to, like, make some kind of point or to set up, you know, the humor of the next joke or something. And again, I think as far as, this is a DC character, so I think as far as continuity goes, if you brought him back in a comic, I think he should definitely be officially a part of the main DC universe, like the Rebirth universe. But this would be one of those situations where it's like, he officially exists in the main universe, but I feel like he's one of those characters that would kind of feel like they exist in their own kind of pocket dimension. Because each superhero in the DC universe seems to have, most of them have their own cities to protect. And each city sometimes feels like a universe unto itself. And I think that's kind of the situation they should play up with the Heckler, where it's like, wherever his city is, it's not a big city. It's not one of those big, like, it's not close to Gotham or Star City or Central City. It's wherever it is in America, it's not near one of the cities that someone from the Justice League protects. I mean, even Hub City for the Question is kind of like its own place. I think they revealed that Hub City is near Gotham, and that's another reason why I thought Hush would make a good villain for the Question if they gave him his own comic series or introduced him in a movie or put him on TV, because you could easily say some of Batman's villains kind of trickled down into Hub City, where they're like, okay, I got beat by Batman, but here's a city that's pretty corrupt that I can slip into and kind of, you know, build myself back up again. But back to the Heckler, like, yeah, I'm end up going off on tangents on other characters sometimes. But I think with the heckler, you would approach it that way and just kind of keep his city, like, keep him to himself. Just because it's kind of like Deadpool in that if you brought these kind, like, this comic is very Looney Tunes and antics and goofiness orientated. And I think if you spill too much of that over into Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Flash and with other characters like that, it wouldn't fit, and it would feel kind of off. But I think it can exist in that universe, but just by itself. Of course, feel free to disagree. I mean, this is another thing that kind of leans really heavily on the writers. So depending on the tone that they set, maybe you could have a Batman or Superman show up. I would say Superman probably more likely than Batman. But maybe you could do it. Like, maybe I'm not imagining the correct tone for it. But, you know, if you have any ideas on it, you know, as always, feel free to write in. You can reach me at comicobscura@gmail.com. You know, if I mean, even in later episodes, I'll still read letters from people, and even if it's about a previously discussed character, like, we can still, like, I will set aside a segment to read and discuss letters from listeners. That's it for the heckler. I would definitely give him a reboot, but we'll see. I haven't quite decided who I'll do next for the next episode, but I'll have that figured out. So thanks for listening. This was episode 3.
I'd like to take a quick second to thank Chad Crouch for the opening theme of the show, Game.
I'll see you next time. Bye.